Yeah, man, let's hear it for the band this morning, bringing it every single weekend. You know, I'm waking up, I'm feeling it in my bones. I think through these last few weeks, some of us have actually been waking up, we're beginning to feel it in our bones, and that's what we've been trying to do over these last few weeks. In fact, today we're turning the corner, and we're beginning to get traction and actually apply some of the things that we've been talking about. And so when you leave here today, you're going to get one of these, a beans and rice starter kit, baby. Oh, yeah, this is what you're all getting, all right? Anybody excited about this right here? Yes, I'm glad, because the first hour didn't seem very excited about it. I had to ramp them up a little bit. And, you know, we did this last year, and you know, we thought it was going to be a one-year deal, and we thought, man, that was pretty fun. And the impact, the ripples that were created were even cooler. And so we thought, you know, we're going to do this again. So we're in year number two. So if you're hearing about this for the first time, which, by the way, my name's Kurt, and it's great to have you here with us this morning. And if it's your first time with us, or maybe you haven't been here for the last few weeks, if you're hearing about this for the first time, here's what's going to happen. You can opt in to be a world changer, to change the world, by putting money toward initiatives this week that I'm going to talk about in just a moment. All right, and the way we do that is we're going to eat different. All right, we're going to eat weird. And if you have beans and rice throughout the week, which by the way, when you take these home, you have to soak the beans for like 24 hours, all right? I had somebody last year come up to me, and they're like, man, Kurt, I stuck those in the microwave for like 10 minutes, and I started eating, and they're like, man, that was fiber to the hilt right there. I'm like, well, no, you can't do it that way. You got to soak these things, all right? Dry beans, you got to soak them, or you can go get canned beans, which will, you know, you can immediately prepare. But this might cost you 39 cents right here. All right, that's what this bag cost to put together. In fact, our seed investment in this thing right here, you know, it was a total of $336 to put over 600 kits in your hands so that you can go and execute this week. Whether you use the kit or not, we really encourage you to do that. This is one free meal, so everyone should at least be able to replace one meal this week. For you, if you take the bags and labels off, which is something we had in our starter investment, that means this bag costs 39 cents per meal. One cup of rice, one cup of beans. And so what you do is every time you eat beans and rice this week, you calculate the cost of the meal that you would have otherwise eaten, and you give the difference. All right, you give the difference to the initiative. All right, and so, you know, say you were going out to, let's say, I don't know, Houlihan's. It's one of my favorite places to eat, and you were going to spend $15, and instead you eat beans and rice, then that means you have a savings of $14.61, right? Is that right? Yes, it's hard to do math up front in front of 100 people, all right? A couple hundred people. It's try to do it someday. And so you take that and you go to the Crosspoint app and you hit the give button and then you earmark beans and rice and you give that to the initiative. Bam, bam, bam. It's the easiest way to participate. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm going to keep a running ledger through the week of how much I'm saving by eating beans and rice. That's totally cool. If that's your way, then do that. If you want to save your cash through the week, you operate on cash, and every time you don't eat a meal out or you don't have to go to the grocery, you eat beans and rice instead, and you put that aside. You're going to bring that back next weekend, put it in the joy box. Yeah, I mean, you weren't expecting that one, were you? And, you know, it's so do whatever works for you, all right? Whatever works for you. If it's beans and rice every meal all week long, great. If it's beans and rice for lunch every day, great. If you're saying, you know, I'm just going to eat out of my pantry, I'm going to go to the grocery as little as possible, and I'm going to give the difference of what I normally would have spent by going to the grocery all week, great. You know, just do what works for you. And the key is that everyone gets engaged. All right, if you're newer to Crosspoint, one of the things that you're going to discover real quick is we're about engagement. And you know, we don't see church as something that you come and sit for an hour, hour and 10 minutes. All right, that gets stale. We get stale and begin to develop an odor when we do that. All right, you engage, you get involved. And so why would we do this? All right, three things. Here we go. First reason is we have a long-term relationship with a group in Indianapolis, and we can debate. We could sit here and debate why the city of Indianapolis budget is the way it is or the state budget is the way that it is, but experts would say that the contributing factor to many children in the greater Indianapolis area being in poverty is coming down to a primary lever, and that is a preschool education. Preschool, preschool, preschool. Whether or not a child in poverty gets a preschool education or not. Because what happens is if a child is in poverty and they don't get a preschool education, they don't get the learnings that other kids do that are their age, by the time they get to elementary school, they're already behind. And a child in poverty also has all kinds of other factors in their life that actually make learning sometimes more difficult, a lot more distractions. And so the sooner we come alongside them and we actually help them get that preschool education, then there's the chance that kid may not live a life of poverty like they've grown up in. All right, and so we're working with Shepherd Community Center, the Academy at Shepherd Community Center, which has a preschool education program, and they work in the downtown area of Indianapolis. Rex Fisher, by the way, who loved Rex Fisher last week? And wasn't Rex great? Rex, man, if you're listening this week, awesome job. Rex talked last week. He's the director of development at Shepherd, and he talked about how he used to be in corporate America and how God really just tugged on he and his wife, and now they live in the inner city and they serve the poor. Now, all of us might not do that, all right? That's not always what God calls all of us to do, but we can engage in some way. And so, you know, we're going to fund as many kids as possible through Shepherd Community Center with a preschool education in this upcoming year and try to change the trajectory of their lives up and out of poverty. Here's the cool part. Return on investment is huge, huge. You may have heard this before. DePaul University did a study specifically on Shepherd and found that for every $75,000 worth of preschool scholarships that they give, it creates a return on investment of $1 million plus in the city of Indianapolis. By keeping those kids out of the system, out of jail, out of incarceration situations, out of the welfare system, special services, all these things, a preschool education actually saves the city enormously, a 12 and a half times return or something like that. All right, so really, really cool stuff. Half of what comes in next week is going to go directly into the greater Indianapolis area. Now, we have two international things we're going to be doing. The second thing is a short-term investment with a group called Serve Life. Now, Serve Life is based here in the greater Indianapolis area. Their headquarters are just down near Butler. And they are serving the poor in India and Nepal. And Nepal. And so, and last year, we were able to fund the back-end budget of an orphanage, a brand-new orphanage in India, and this year, we're going to continue to help fund that new orphanage as they continue to take in more and more children and basically providing for medical care, for food, and for education. And what's really cool is for every $1,000 that we put into Serve Life, it creates a $10,000 return on investment in terms of how those funds are exponentially used to create impact. So cool, cool stuff happening. We're gonna change the kids, the trajectory of kids' lives all the way on the other side of the world. And then the other thing we're going to be doing, we're adding this one to the initiative this year, and this is something you heard about earlier in the year. It's one of our missional partners. Josh and Audrey Wieger are going to Berlin, Germany later this year to address the issue of human trafficking in the Berlin, Germany area, which is kind of the epicenter of where all of these things flow from. And we've just had a burden for human trafficking, for the sex slave trafficking that happens in our world. And in fact, one of the reasons for that is because there are more slaves today, right now, than there ever have been in the history of the world. Different kind of slavery. Slavery looks different. And we want to come against that, and we want to actually create freedom. We want to live simply for a week so that someone else can simply live. Right? And so you can change this. You can actually come against this by just eating different for the next 7 days. All right? And it's going to have ripple effects. And so that's what we're asking everyone to do, is to take this starter kit and then through the week, eat as cheap as possible. Beans and rice is the cheapest you can do. And actually live simply so others can simply live. Now, why would we do these three things? Well, we're coming against them because we have a burden. We feel like God is about these things. And so, we want to take a look real quick at what happened last year. It was very motivating what took place through this initiative last year. We thought it'd be really encouraging to revisit that before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we're going to do this year. All right, so take a look at the screens. Hey! man, it's going to be awesome. And let me just debrief for a moment how this is all going to take place, you know, because have you ever noticed how weird it is that people actually drop money in these things we have here called the Joy Box? Yeah, it's weird, right? I mean, where else does that happen? Do you ever go to a Colts game and just drop money in the wall? Does that ever happen? No, it doesn't happen anywhere else. You know, have you ever noticed how weird it is that people pick up electronic devices and, you know, they send money, they give, and they get nothing in return, at least any product in return? I mean, where else does that happen other than in the local church? You know, how about people who sign up for, like, you know, automated giving? You know, people use this envelope all the time, and they say, hey, I want to sign up for automated giving. Some people do this online through the online giving application, where you give permission to Crosspoint to extract money from your bank account whenever it's right for you. You know, sometimes it's once a month, sometimes it's twice a month, whatever you set, and that just happens. I mean, does PBS ever do that for you without giving you, like, a calendar in return or something? No, right? I mean, can we just recognize that this whole idea of giving is really weird? And yet, this is why PBS and the Colts, I mean, I love those two organizations. This is why they're never going to change the world, right? Because the body of Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, the local church, has been changing the world through doing weird things for thousands of years. Ongoing. In fact, today we're going to take a look at a story that's kind of one of those weird events out of the book of Acts, out of the book that describes the first followers of Jesus and how they lived together. And I find this story personally inspiring, and it gives us four principles to draw on as we go into this week of eating weird. All right, this comes from Acts 19, verse 18. Here's what it says. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted the whole value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. All right, so these people, they did something really weird right here. You know what they did? They actually went out and they burned their assets. Right? That's weird, right? They burned their assets, and we see there it says, the word of the Lord prevailed mightily, because the world started to change because they went out and did something weird, right? Something out of the flow of the rest of culture. And so we're going to eat weird this week, and the world is going to change as a result of it, all right? Eating weird changes the world, because that's what happens when you get out of the flow of what normal people do, all right? So four things here today. Four things we see out of this passage. Number one, eating weird changes the world when it is done in community, right? When it's communal, right? This says here that there were a number of those that came, right? This wasn't just one person that said, hey, I want to go out and I want to change the world. No, many of them came together, and it says that they had books which they had come to discern were not spiritually healthy for them. And so they came together and they did this thing together. Radical, crazy. I mean, they all came together and did something together to create major impact. And I mean, this idea of taking an asset that I own and going and burning it in and of my own free will and accord. That's what they did. All right? And people criticized them for this. They said, man, that's weird. That's weird. And now, this wasn't like a book burning like we'd see in our country today. All right? No, this wasn't somebody going and robbing the library and heaving up a pile of books, you know, heaping them up and setting them on fire. No, this was people who decided out of their own free will that, you know, there's some things in our life that aren't accurate spiritually. In fact, nobody should have these things. These things should be gone. And so they went out and burned them. And people didn't understand it. People actually criticize them. I tell you what, you start changing the world, you start doing weird things, people are actually going to criticize you. All right, you start being weird, you're going to get criticized a bit. Because in our world, you know, we kind of go out of this mentality of every man for himself, every woman for himself, do whatever feels good, quid pro quo, you know, just go with the flow, don't step out of the stream of society, you know, measure everything, do fair share thinking, do your fair share, and everybody's good. You know, have you ever noticed that these things never change the world? That kind of thinking never changes the world, right? There will be criticism when you do something different. There's a sweet, sweet lady. Her name is Brené Brown, and she kind of hit the national scene a few years ago with TED Talks. Maybe you've seen her on TED Talks. Man, if you were to see her, if you don't know who she is, man, she's about as sweet as they come, you know, in terms of a presenter, you know, very eloquent. And this is why when I came across this quote from her that was a bit salty, I'm like, oh, man, Brené Brown said that? It kind of got my attention, and it was actually personally inspiring as well. In fact, here's what she said. She said, if you aren't in the arena also getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback. I like that. I'm like, yes, that's you know, there's going to be people when you eat weird in your workplace, they're going to be like, oh, why are you doing that, man? Come out to lunch with us. No, you, when you're in the arena with community, with others, others who are feeling a little bad because they're not used to a beans and rice diet, you know, we've talked to other churches about joining us in this initiative here locally. Some are like, man, that's just weird. I don't know that we'd ever get our people to do it. All right, you start getting criticized for it. Now, there's a whole group of churches that we are also connected with that are on this beans and rice initiative in other cities around the United States, all right, because they're like-minded people. They're saying, hey, we want to make a difference in our communities. And so we're not just doing this as a single unit here. There's going to be close to probably $1.5 million raised over the next, you know, few weeks by people eating simply and changing their communities, all right? The communal aspect of this is actually going to be heightened through social media. And so that's why we encourage you to use the Facebooks. You can go to our Facebook page and as well as our web page, and you can download, you know, like pictures to put on your Facebook page, pictures for your Twitter, for your Instagram that you can have up all week long. We encourage you to post, you know, your happenings during the week with beans and rice. You know, when you get together with your small group, take a group photo, post it. You know, encourage others as they're on this journey together because they're in the arena and they get what you're doing. All right, so there's going to be power in community. Second thing that happens with this group of people, and that's going to happen with us, is when you eat, eating weird includes being sacrificial. It includes being sacrificial. See, when they burned these books, it had a financial toll to them. In fact, it says in verse 19, they counted the value of them, meaning the books, and found it came to about 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, we don't know exactly how big those coins were, but best estimate of people that have studied archaeological, you know, financial situations and what that equates today with inflation and so on is that that would equate today to about $2 million that they burned of their assets. My goodness, that is a lot of sacrifice right there. Now sacrifice doesn't mean it has to devastate you. All right, sometimes you think, man, if I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to be naked in a van living down by the river, right? I'm going to be stripped of everything. A few Saturday Night Live folks in the group, right? Those of you that have been around for a while. Yeah, so, you know, no, it doesn't always have to be that way. Sacrifice is when I say, I'm going to do this instead of doing that. I'm going to live this way so I can invest this way. You know, for this first century group of people, they're sacrificing their books. They're sacrificing what, in essence, was bad spirituality in these books. And they said, we're going to actually take those and burn those. And then smoke begins to arise, similar to a sacrifice that we would see in the Old Testament. Because, see, in Old Testament times, you know, sacrifices would happen at the temple where, you know, you would bring an animal to the altar and you'd place it on the altar and the animal would be killed on your behalf. Basically, you know, as you watch that animal be killed, you'd stand there and say, oh my word, this animal's being killed in my place. That animal didn't deserve to be killed. I'm the one that actually offended my holy God, and all God's done for me is love on me. And yet, here's this animal, and it reminds me that, oh my word, God is graceful because he's allowing an animal to die instead of me. Right? And a sweet aroma would go up as that animal was on the altar. And it'd remind you of the grace of God and bring appreciation of the graceful nature of God. Sometimes it would be with grain offerings. You know, it'd bring the first portion of the harvest in. And people would place that on the altar. And it would begin to roast. The grain would begin to roast. And there'd be an aroma, and they'd burn it to God. And they'd say, oh, God, you know, I bring the first portion of what I have, place it on the altar, because it's a reminder that everything that I have actually is not mine. Everything I have, including what I've harvested, actually comes from your hands, not from my hands. And so, you know, they would do this out of an act of appreciation, and the aromas would go up. And the book of Exodus actually says things like this. It says, it is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord. God's like, man, that smells good, you know, when they do that. That's what he'd be doing right there. And then in Philippians, the New Testament builds on this, saying there's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Tell you what, when we go out and eat our beans and rice this week, there are going to be some aromas in our homes, all right? I'm guaranteeing you, all right? There's going to be aromas. And every time you flatulate this week, there's going to be a sweet-smelling aroma that goes to God, all right? There really is. Now, that's a Kurt Walter special right there, all right? You aren't going to find many pastors that will say that to you. But here's the thing. See, when you sacrifice this week and you eat differently and your body starts doing things that Febreze has to come against, you know what I'm talking about? All right? You know, when that happens, God's going to go, oh, man, that is a sweet aroma right there. And even if you take Beano ahead of time, all right? Some of you have been on Beano for a couple days. You're preparing. All right? Listen, your life is still going to be a sweet aroma because God's going to look at you. And when he sees somebody willingly sacrificing for the good of someone else, he says, man, that smells sweet to me right there. That is good. This is why I'm excited about the next 2 weeks. All right, next 2 weeks. This week, beans and rice, we're going to be sacrificing and in community so that someone else can have a shot at abundance while we live in sustenance mode. Speaking of sacrifice, 2 weeks, as Eric said, from today is Easter. And we still have many, many opportunities to volunteer around here. In fact, you know, maybe you're looking for a way for your life to have meaning, for your life to just, you know, be that sweet aroma. Listen, let me give you a little context on Easter here, all right? Easter didn't happen so we could have dinner. All right, I'm just saying. All right, now dinner might be a good part of Easter weekend, but you know, we plan this 12:30 service, and a few people have been like, oh man, it's right in the middle of dinner hour. Well, you know, eat different that day. We're eating different all week. Eat different. Do something later in the day. You know, Easter happened because God saw that there was a problem, and people needed a direct way to come back into relationship with him, so he sent his son into the world to be the bridge back to God. Right, that's what we're celebrating on Easter. And so when we plan things around here, you know, we plan an additional service at the time frame that the most people that normally wouldn't be in church might come to church after they've done Easter egg stuff, after they've done brunch. And so, you know, we're having a lot of guests on Easter weekend. And man, if you're not serving, we would love for you to jump in. I mean, make your life a sacrifice that weekend. Eat differently, do things different that day so you can be that. Man, you know, God can look at you and be like, man, that is a sweet-smelling life right there because they're willing to put someone else in front of what I want to happen, all right? So all kinds of opportunities in our kids' areas, hospitality areas. If you're interested in serving, you can mark that on the back of your connection card. And listen, you will be a sweet aroma, which is better than being a foul aroma, right? Have you ever noticed things that are stagnant get foul real quick? Things that just sit and aren't moving? Engage. You don't want to be a foul aroma. You want to be a sweet aroma. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to be laying down our lives for the greater Indianapolis area. We're going to be laying down our lives for people all over and pockets all over the world because we're going to change something about ourselves. We're going to change something about even our patterns maybe on Easter so that we can be a sweet aroma on that day so that someone else can go forward. That's what this is all about. Another thing they did, third thing they did, they lived an integrated life. They lived an integrated life. When you eat weird, you begin to live an integrated life, right? All aspects of your life begin to come together, which means, you know, they understood that my relationships, my work life, what I buy, what I sell, this is all part of my life. Sometimes in business, we say things like, well, it was just business, which means, man, I just screwed somebody over in the name of business, but God's okay with it because it's just business, right? No, they didn't say this. They understood that what I do, what I buy, how I operate my business, everything I do and own and say and am reflects what I think about God. I recently saw a good movie. It was, maybe you've seen it. It's a movie called Divergent. Anybody seen Divergent? Out of curiosity? Yeah, awesome. You know, she dies. And actually, you know, she might not die at the end because maybe you haven't seen it. So I was just kidding. She doesn't die. So now you don't know if she dies or not because anyway, I was on a trip down to a one-day conference about a month and a half ago and watched it on the plane. And And, you know, the whole movie is about these five different competencies that I think her name was Triss, has, and how, you know, or figuring out which one she might have. And it reminded me of something that a guy by the name of Mike Breen put together. Mike Breen is a European pastor, and he put together this idea of the five capitals. And this five capitals is this idea that all throughout the Bible, we see, you know, that there are five different resources that God pours into our lives. And five different things, if you will, that should be integrated into our life to create a full, sustainable, ongoing, enjoyable life. And these five things, you can actually grow in multitude and in magnitude. And, you know, these different sources of capital can actually be used to grow other areas of capital. All right, so here's the cool thing. All of us in this room have at least one, we would probably be categorized into at least one of these five capitals. All right, and because there's one that maybe we trend toward more often, there's one that we like a lot, and then there's maybe others that we think are just dirty or like, oh man, I don't really like that. But here's the thing, the key, everybody who changes the world is divergent. Right? Everybody who changes the world understands I've got to operate in all of these capitals, and when I maximize all of these capitals in my life, that sets in motion ripple effects. So here's the five capitals. First one's financial, all right? Pretty obvious. Jesus talked about all five of these, by the way. All right, the second one is intellectual, the brain. You have ideas that come to you, all right? That's a capital. You can actually grow your mental, your intellectual capital. Third one is physical, all right? That's very obvious. Fourth one is relational. All right, we have relational aptitudes. We have the ability for others to be a blessing in our lives and us to be a blessing to others. The fifth one is faith. Now, faith is interesting. It's not just that I have spiritual feelings, all right? Faith is this idea that when I have the resources of faith, that allows me to do certain things, to make certain decisions when others may be afraid to make those decisions. All right, when I have the resources of faith, the capital of faith, it means I go after what I know God wants for my life and in the world when others might cower in that moment. All right, so I more regularly lean into my faith, lean into God when others may not choose to do so. All right, so these five capitals, the way I just gave them to you, all right, they build in difficulty to acquire, which means financial is number one, it's the easiest. All right, intellectual is the next most difficult. Physical is the third most difficult. Relational is the fourth. And then spiritual is actually the most difficult capital to acquire. All right, now, some of you are looking at this and you're probably thinking, man, financial? Kurt, really? Financial's the easiest? It actually is, believe it or not. All right, because, you know, you could choose right now, you know, to say, okay, I need to go out tomorrow and make some money. You could choose to go make $5 tomorrow, or you could say, you know, I'm going to do some other things. I'm going to create an income of $100 tomorrow. Maybe sell some things, whatever it might be. All right? So you actually have quite a bit of ability to change financial pretty easily. You know, in contrary to, like, the physical, for instance. You know, I've had, like, this aching pain in my ring finger and my index finger for the last 2 or 3 months. But a few of my friends tell me I'm getting old and it's arthritis. I don't know that it's that. But I'm losing some of my fine motor skills. And I've still got a few weeks before I can get in to see a specialist because, you know, it's hard to get an appointment. And so, you know, I can't just go out and change this tomorrow. And even when I see the doctor, it's not necessarily going to change. All right, that's a physical capital right there. It's harder to get. All right, if you've got three limbs versus my four, I have more physical capital than you. All right, so the power of a life comes when we leverage all of these capitals and we draw on all of the pools and we throw those into creating ripple effects in the world. There's something fascinating. The average tax refund this year is right now, as of the end of February, was $3,120. That's what the experts say at the end of February, the average tax refund was. They expect it to go down, by the way, as we go further in the season, because they say people that owe don't file till later because they know they're going to have to pay. So, you know, that'll go down a little bit. But I stumbled across this blog that was really fascinating. It was talking about when you get your tax refund, how can you actually maximize it? How can you exponentially grow it so that you create ripples in your life and in others? And here's what they suggested. It was interesting. Number one thing they suggested was take your boss out to lunch, all right? So if you're a boss, man, good things are coming to you. All right, in fact, here's what they said. It was interesting. financial samurai said this. He said, your number one moneymaker is your job. Hence, it behooves you to invest as much as you can at making yourself the most compensated employee possible. One of the best ways to get paid and promoted is to build a tremendous support network of individuals predisposed to root for your success. When it comes time for a raise and a promotion, your name will float to the top of the list because managers tend to take care of people they like and they disregard people they don't know. So he actually calculates that you could have up to 1,000% return by simply taking your boss to lunch. All right, what is he saying right here? All right, here's what he's saying. He's saying if you take your financial resources and you throw those into your relationships, you will gain a return. All right, now you may not get paid more next week, but in the future, you might actually make more. All right, even greater so, maybe when layoffs come, you won't get laid off. Because your boss is like, oh, man, I really like Kurt, man. He's a nice guy. I want to keep him on my team because you invested in relational capital. All right, this is how money works. All right, this is how the different capitals work right here. And what we do is we find out which of these we need to grow. Let's say it's relationships. So we take our money and we throw it at our relationships. All right, we start pouring into relational connects, people who were relationally connected. You're not buying friends, all right? I mean, I've been out with people and they, you know, you're sitting at a meal and everybody's like, is it going to be one check or multiple checks? And somebody's like, one. And, you know, they buy a meal for everybody, right? Anybody ever had that happen before? You know, and you walk away from that and I'm like, man, I want to hang out with them more often, right? I mean, not because they paid for my meal, but because I don't like being around people who are cheap. Right? And obviously, they're not cheap. They just bought 8 friends, right? What they did is they said, hey, I enjoyed this. I want to spend more time with this group of people, right? In fact, Jesus actually told us that we should do this. Take a look here at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, here's what he said. He said, I tell you the truth. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. That was Jesus? Yes, that was Jesus. See, one of the reasons the early followers of Jesus had such invasive impact in the world is they knew how to move in and out of these 5 capitals. They knew how to be divergent. They knew how to build capital in their life, all right? And they reaped the power of the results, the return of that. So here's another one right here. Rodney Stark, in his book, The Triumph of Christianity, says this. He says, what is almost always missed is that Christianity often puts the pie on the table. It makes life better here and now, not merely in psychological ways, as faith and an attractive afterlife can do, but in terms of concrete worldly beliefs. Consider that a study based on ancient tombstones has established that early Christians outlived their pagan neighbors. What that demonstrates is that Christians enjoyed a superior quality of life. And so what this says is they outlive people. All right, why is that? It's because they understood how life works. They understood what it means to be meant to be divergent in these 5 capitals. Harvard in 2010. See, we're finding what it means and how we can actually live longer and what relationships have to do with that. Harvard in 2010 did a study that talked about this. Here's what they said. They said people who have satisfying relationships have been shown to be happier with fewer health problems and live longer. In contrast, having few social ties is associated with depression, cognitive decline, and premature death. All right, so let's go back to our little graph here for just a moment. All right, so if you want to live longer physically, one of the things you have to do is you have to pour into your relationships. All right, you physically pour into your relationships. Relationally, this helps you physically. All right, you know, and then you have to do things like intellectually pour into your physicality, you know, so that you don't experience things like senility, you know, becoming senile, right? I mean, you want to live a long life, we have to do, you know, we have to use our capitals to pour in other parts of our life, all right? If you break a finger, you hopefully have enough financial resources that you can address your physical need right there, all right? So that doesn't have a long-term impact. It doesn't affect you for the rest of your life, all right? And then here's the interesting one. Spiritually, you know, our faith plays in because sometimes things happen And we're like, God, how in the world is this? Am I going to get through this? And so spiritually, we lean into our faith and we physically realize that sometimes God just shows up and fills in gaps that we had no idea he could fill. Isn't that cool? And so what we realize is all of this contributes to being a holistic person. All right. So what you can do with all these things is, you know, my physical actually builds my faith, and my faith actually builds the physical. And sometimes we'll look at the person next to us, we'll say, well, man, they have way more faith than I have. Well, no, they really don't. They didn't start with it that way, at least. They're just investing in the capital of their faith. They're doing things to grow themselves spiritually. We're all going to have the opportunity to grow ourselves spiritually this week. We're going to invest in spiritual capital. And for some of us, we're going to invest in the spiritual, and our physical capital is going to decrease a little bit. Meaning, you might have the perfect diet, all right? You might have like a near-perfect diet where, man, you've got it engineered where you feel great every day, and you eat certain things and only at certain times. And when you start eating beans and rice this week, I mean, you may not feel physically as good as you have when you've been on your near-perfect diet, all right? But you may not even be able to exercise as much as you normally would because you're eating differently, and yet you're investing in your spiritual capital. Now, there's others of us who are going to grow our physical capital and our spiritual capital, because when you start eating beans and rice, man, you're going to find this diet is so much healthier than what you're normally eating that you're going to feel so much better. So you're going to invest in your spiritual capital in addition to your physical capital. All right. But here's the thing. All of us, as we do this, as we live this out of love this week, all right, as we sacrifice, as we do this communally, as we integrate our lives and say, I want to be an integrated person, you're going to have a faith spike. Why is that? Why is that? You're going to have a faith spike because God knows who is doing this out of a loving heart, and he's more happy with those who do it than that don't do it. All right, now, this is not like preacher's guilt right here, all right? That's not what this is. All right, this is about, you know, we all have to choose whether we're going to engage or not engage. We have to choose, regardless of what that looks like, you know, if that's every meal all week or lunch every day, whatever it looks like for you, you know, we have to come up with our version of how we're going to engage, and it has to come out of our own heart. In fact, Jesus talks about this in Matthew 25. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So Jesus says, based on how we steward our resources, our five capitals, God gets greater or less joy based on how we live our lives. And God will throw more capital at us. And God will throw more resources and more faith into us and more physicality and more physical strength into us. And he'll, you know, throw more intellectual into us based on if we're stewarding, we're being good stewards of that which we already have. We're growing. It's fascinating how this works. Fourth and final one, what this group of people did in Acts 19, and I'm going to kind of coin a new word right here. It's going to be precedental. All right, precedental. All right, spell check said it's not a real word. So I'm making a new word. It's precedental, meaning it's going to set a precedent that's going to keep going and going, ongoing. It's going to be sustainable. Take a look at the end of the passage we started with, Acts 19. It says, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. What does it mean for the word of the Lord to increase and prevail? Well, the word of the Lord is anything that God wants to have happen that actually happens. It's God's principles. It's God's priorities. It's God's love. It's God's sacrifice. The word of the Lord, the way God wants the world to operate, is going to prevail more and more and more as we engage this week. All right? Now listen. The word of the Lord is going to prevail more and more in the greater Indianapolis area because there's going to be hundreds of people who are actually sacrificially in community, you know, integrating their lives to do something for somebody else, right? Maybe more so than any other week of the year. There's going to be pockets of people on the other side of the world that are going to get immediately impacted because of what you're doing for a week here, right? This is how prevailing change happens. Anybody excited about this, by the way? Yeah. All right. So listen, when we leave here today, you're going to get one of these beans and rice starter kits if you haven't already got one. And this is your next step, by the way. In the back of your connection cards, you can sign up to volunteer for Easter, but this is your primary next step, along with, we're just calling you to live a sacrificial life this week and on Easter. And as you go, just determine if you're going to give it as you go on the app or online, or if you're going to collect it and then return it at the end of the week. All right, so let's stand. I want to pray for us as we head into this week, because this is going to be powerful. It's going to be very powerful. God, thank you for today. I just have a special prayer right now that I want to pray, because I know there are people in this room right now that are lacking spiritual capital as we head into this Beans and Rice Week. And they, there's some people that the way this has manifested itself this morning is that maybe they're even cynical toward some of the things we're talking about today. Maybe cynical toward these three initiatives, and they're just not excited about it at all. God, there's others of us in the room today who are lacking spiritual capital because, you know, we really want to do what's been laid out this morning. We really want to do this. We're just afraid. We don't exactly know what it looks like or what other people are going to say when we eat differently all week long. Right? We're uncertain about how to do that. We're a little tentative on it. So I'm just praying, God, I'm praying that you would give enough faith for everyone in here this morning, everyone listening this morning, to step into the challenge, to step bravely into the challenge. And God, would you give enough spiritual capital that we'll try something different this week, we'll try something new this week that maybe we didn't do last week out of sacrificial love for our city, sacrificial love for people all around us, for our neighbors, people even on the other side of the world. So God, I just thank you. I thank you for the models you've given in my life, for my parents who modeled this for me. Thank you for the many mentors and people that build into me that have modeled sacrificial living. And God, I thank you that we can look to people in the Bible, and there are many greats that have gone before us to show us what it means to live in a way that changes the world. God, may we be counted as one of those at the end of this week. God, help us just get it done.